In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through verse 17, I want to talk to you this morning about the knowledge. I'm going to try this here. Maybe it won't get feedback from...
Yeah, the further away, the better.
Yeah, okay. Excuse me. Starting in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and he put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But, there's that word, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then we go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 through 7, and we see that the outcome. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Do you see that? If you not to skip those verses in between, but if you go from there, from verse 2:17 to 3:4, but the serpent said, there you have direct contradiction. God said, you eat this tree, you die. The serpent says, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Do you believe that God knew that? I believe that God did know that. And that's why he told him not to eat that tree. You see. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. God didn't say the tree didn't look good. What she saw was natural. You see. She saw with her eyes. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So I would ask, when was man ever created to take on the cares of this world? Now you've got to think about that some. And yet, because daily, all the cares, all the news, we have what you might say a universal instant knowledge of everything that goes on in the world. Obviously not to every single person, but in general. I was just speaking with Brother Jeff this morning about what went on up in Olympia, Washington. Well, in times past, there might be folks wouldn't even know there'd be Olympia, Washington. You see. So all these things of the world there, this worldwide knowledge is all day long. It's the world we live in. Well, I would ask, is this not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil yet before us? There it is, you see. We can be as gods. We can read, we can see it. We don't only hear it, we can see it. You can pull it up live, you see. And sometimes I believe this is a Pandora's box that maybe we wish we had never opened. In the garden, all Adam had to do was tend the garden. You see? Kind of like children. This boy, he's going on 4. He's already got problems this morning. 4 years old. It's starting to... Well, he's unhappy because, you know. But that other baby, he's happy. He's got everything he wants. He only wants one thing. And he's getting it now. And that's, I believe that's the way that God intended Adam to be in the garden. You got to tend this garden. You got everything you want here. You can eat of all the trees in it. You just have, you know, don't open that one. And for good reason, you see. Everything provided. You might say almost a carefree existence. Everything in order for him and his woman. An idyllic situation. Until they receive, that's what I call this word. Until they received the knowledge. Until they received the knowledge. You know, in Christ, those that are, he's our rest. And so if we don't have rest, well, we're not in Christ. There's something else going on, you see. And we have that rest until what? You know, every morning, and I'm talking about early. I don't know about you, but I start getting phone calls and texts, most especially texts, concerning, and they're all about one thing, the news of the day. What happened in D.C. or what happened in the politics or what happened in the election or what happened up in Washington or what's happening out there in California, what's happening in Germany, what's going on in China, what's going on here, what's going on there. Okay. The worldwide news. When I was growing up, the evening news came on at, I don't know, 5:30, 6 o'clock. Had local news for 30 minutes and then national news for 30 minutes. 1 hour of news. And the old timers, like grandma and grandpa, and I was a young guy, I hated the news. I wasn't interested in it. It was the last thing I was interested in. But not mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. They didn't miss Huntley Brinkley and Walter Cronkite or Walter Winchell, or now I'm going back. But it was 30 minutes, and then it was over, and I Love Lucy came on or something, and that's the way the thing went. But we have that 24 hours a day now in front of us. News, listen, that no man is equipped to deal with. No man. Not the first one, this universal news. And the problems of the whole world laid out before us. Who on God's earth would be able to endure such? And the answer is no one. I don't care who you are, how scholastic you are, or avant-garde, or whatever. You're not equipped. And yet daily it comes. It's almost a warfare, isn't it? A spiritual warfare. You see. And there are people sick all over the world. That's the number one thing today. Well, they're sick. They have the COVID or they have, you know, they're sick. And then they're fighting and they're dying all over the world. And we get all pent up. And you can't tell me the first thing to do about it. Not the first thing. But we get all, well, we got to do something. You see. Well, what am I going to do? You know what I can do something about? Right here. Right here, where God has me. With the sphere of influence that God's given me. Stop looking at this piece of plastic and going, oh, we've got to do something. They're fighting up in Washington. Well, let them fight. I told a fellow the other day, call me when the bullets start flying. Doesn't matter if the truth is, it doesn't matter if they're flying in Austin. I'm not in Austin. If you want to get in that fight, go up there. You want to get in that fight in Washington, go up there. That's your business. You can go wherever you want. You want to fight? Go over to the Middle East. There's somebody over there be glad to have you. Would I fight? Of course. I served 8 years in the military. Went to places you don't want to go. And lived like you don't want to live, you see. The problems of the whole world laid out before us. And daily it comes. And you know what? We seek it. We look for it. What's the old, you know, you look for trouble, you'll find it. And this is all things we can do absolutely nothing about. Listen, that's what happened to Adam. That's exactly what happened. He received a knowledge that he could do absolutely nothing about. And God knew that. And you need to know that. And he couldn't put it back. And so we open it every hour of every day. And what did he do? He sewed fig leaves together. What do? We sew fig leaves together. And I'd say that's about how effective that all our discourses on the problems of the day are. Simply fig leaves to attempt to cover our nakedness, or you might say our helplessness. Helplessness in this time. Who told you you were naked? Drudge? CNN? Did CNN, Fox News, MSNBC? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of that tree? You've been reading that thing again? You've been looking at it again? Every day, knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge. 24 hours a day, middle of the night, more knowledge, more knowledge. Anytime, day or night. What's going on in China, India, Europe, South America, or even hometown USA? I work with people and they're on this thing. They call it social media. I'm not interested in social media. I'm interested in the guy that's in front of me. Facebook, Twitter, text, email. And you just pick this thing up. You don't even have to turn it on. I pick this cell phone up and it comes to life. I don't have to push a button. And it appears just by picking it up. The old saying, bad news travels fast, has never been more true. Not only travels fast, but it parks in our mind, in our psyche, every minute and every hour of every day. We can't sleep and we can't eat and we can't work. The knowledge of good and evil plagues us every hour of every day. And it's an evolution that's going to continue until man can no longer cope with such knowledge. It's too much. It's simply too much. We've gone beyond multitasking because we're multitasking in our minds, in our flesh, all the day long. Well, you say, what's wrong with that? Where's Christ? Anything that displaces Christ, you better stay away from. Yeah. You see? And a man, he's got scant control of this power of darkness. Nor is he aware that this knowledge ends up controlling him. It controls his time. It controls his mind. It controls everything about him. You see? I think I told some of you this amazing thing. This iPhone, almost daily, when I pick it up in the morning, charge it at night, and I pick it up, and it's always got a tip. How to better do this, or how to better do that. Well, one day this past week, I'm telling my bride that, you know, I had trouble falling asleep. I had trouble falling asleep last night. I go in the bedroom and I pick up my iPhone, and you know what it has on there? a tip telling me how to better fall asleep. It was listening. It knew what I was having a conversation about. And it was it gave me unsolicited advice. You see, this ultimate knowledge of good and evil. But you and I, we're to be in Christ, to have the peace that passes all understanding. Now listen, before you even throw it up, I'm not talking about becoming an island or sticking our head in the sand. On the contrary, God gives us, in Ephesians 6, the armor of God to combat these things. And in the midst of all this, this is what I've got, this book. This holy, you ever think about that? Holy Bible. This holy Bible, the Word of God. I've got this book, you see. And it never changes. All this, it changes every day. And they have to come out with a new model and a new model. Well, man tries to do that with new perversions and versions, you see. As the Lord God, He doesn't change. He doesn't change. He changes not. Where we fail is we allow this to change us. That's where we fail. This cell phone or this tablet or this computer. We allow that thing to change us. Who's in control? I watch them stare at these phones all day long. When I walk into a place of business, do you know what they're doing? They're staring at that phone. Staring at that phone. I had to take a young man. We had to go pick up a vehicle this week. It was an hour's drive. Do you know what he did for an hour? He was on that phone. He was on that phone. Not talking. He wasn't having a conversation. I don't know what he was doing. You see? So I'd ask you this morning, is not, as Paul says, His grace sufficient? See, I think that sometimes we slide off that. But Paul said His grace, God's grace, is sufficient. And that was a time, by the way, when Paul himself was being buffeted by a messenger of Satan. I'm not sure that's not what this is. Now you get that. I'm not going to go into it, but I know something about a messenger of Satan. And I'm convinced that it, like Paul, it was to keep me from being exalted above measure. Because I serve a supernatural God and I've had supernatural things happen in my life. But I must remember, and you must remember, that His grace is sufficient. Turn over that. That's, by the way, that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And He said unto me, Paul speaking of God, speaking to him. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now you think about that. Because you want to know everything. And you want to know everything about everything. You see. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And if it's not, then you've got some problems. You should write that verse down. You should read it. You should put it to memory. My grace is sufficient for thee. Because these things are going to come. We're going to read the news. We're going to see the news. These things are going to come. But it's the only thing that'll get you through. Your AR-15 is not going to get you through. Your cache of ammunition, your emergency provisions, and that's not going to get you through. Your electricity's not, your cell phone's not going to get you through. Only His grace. And then in verse 10, he said, therefore, Paul said, okay, I've got it. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. We don't understand that. I'm going to tell you, we don't. You've got to be honest. Now, that's a complete impossibility without this grace, without this Christ, you see. You know what? Because we have this knowledge. We have this knowledge. We've this knowledge of good and evil. And sadly, we can't put the cat back in the bag. Can't do it. And sowing fig leaves and hiding from God, that'd just make it all the worse. But that's what we do. We get on this phone, we hide from God. We don't go open the Bible. All these problems, we don't go open the Bible. We go look at a different news site. God says that's why in these last days that we're to assemble all the more as the day approaches. All the more as the day approaches. You ever, look at, turn over right quick. I believe it's only three verses, the 133rd Psalm. Psalm 133. We talked about, we had something about this yesterday at the prayer meeting. He said, behold, now look. This is nothing like the news of the day. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And boy, it really is. It really, really is. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now you compare that sweet psalm, that peace with the news of the day. It's day and night. It's black and white, you see. Perhaps we should go back to meeting three times a week. We should probably at these times meet every day. You see, I'm in the world, but bless God, I'm not to be of the world. You see. I wrote this the other morning. I believe it was a Monday morning. I received this word when I was in prayer. And I wrote down here, I spent at least an hour while writing this word, dealing with a problem at work. Someone called me. A customer called me and he had a problem. You see. Same customer I was visiting with you all the other day. I spent an hour with him there. But is sufficient enough not to today? How am I going to solve the problems of the world? I'm having a hard time just placating one guy with his truck. You see? God help me if I've got to consider tomorrow all the problems on this thing. I'm not equipped to do that. I wrote here, these are the things, this was early, the girl needs to have a baby. Well, praise God she did, it's done, okay. I put, the girl needs to have a baby, Denise Salvagno, a dear friend, she died, she passed away. She's about Melissa's age. Cattle need feed, the propane tank's leaking. John Siska, an old pastor I know, his wife died. He's a lot younger than I, you see. And that was this, right at that moment, the things going. You know, the President of the United States, he can't help me with any of that. He's not going to help me with my customer's truck, and he's not even going to know that Denise Salvagno died or that James Warren was born. And that Kelsey Warren delivered him. He's not going to know that. You see? And you know what? Fox and CNN not going to know it or do anything about it either. Is not his grace sufficient? Now, I'm not saying that we don't have the knowledge. Because we do. I'm not denying the knowledge. I'm saying I have one greater than the knowledge. I control the knowledge. The knowledge is not to control me. Do you understand that? Remember, it was God who planted that tree. That's another message for another day. You know, in Jeremiah 6:16, we used to quote it. I think we might have had some of it on a sign one time. Thus saith the Lord. This is what God says. He said, stand ye in the ways and see. And ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And he said, walk therein and you'll find rest for your souls. That's what God said. Find you the old path. You walk down that path and you'll find rest. You see? You know what the people said in that same verse? But they said, we will not walk therein. Got to have that knowledge. Got to have new and better. Got to have, see? Will you walk in there, in the old path? I would that we'd spend as much time here in this book, the tree of life, as we do here, the tree of knowledge, good and evil. You see? Is not his grace sufficient?
Amen.
One thing you can know for sure, if it's upsetting your peace, the Holy Ghost's not in it. Get away from it. Get away from it. I'm not telling you not to read it. I read it. But it's just news. Now, when it gets to my gate, call me. When it gets to today, call me. Because I can't anymore do anything about the presidential election. I've already done my part. I voted. Than what he can do for me. Do you understand that? Am I in favor of all these men? Yeah. But there are men and things in place to take care of that. I'm not one of them. I am not one of them. God hasn't directed me or handed me a sword and said, here, go up there and take care of this. Now, if he does, I'm gone. But if I'm leaning to my own understanding and going, you're going to come back with your tail between your legs if you come back at all. Yeah. Because you're leaning to your own understanding and you're giving thought. And we've already preached on that time and again. The knowledge, hey, His grace is sufficient.